What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Radio you can touch.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
People are going to be robbed from hearing my thought. Maybe they'll want to hear what you have to say, but I just feel like they'll want to hear what I have to say about it. You try to act like I don't know anything, and then the real world slaps you in the face.
I hear you loud and clear.
Jeff Lutz.
Man, if I had seen you, I might have... I gotta punch that Bob.
You're not thinking about punching anybody.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Only the best for your special playtime.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome. It's the Monday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz here for the next 2 hours to entertain and inform. Max Power is there to press buttons.
I can't wait to inform.
East Wichita studio. Well, I inform every day.
Can't wait to inform people today.
Well, people tune in. I put a post out on Facebook on our 9-year anniversary, which was yesterday. I can't tell you how many people responded with appreciation for how much I informed them.
I can. I can tell you exactly how many.
Well, how many?
Well, you can't say how many if a number doesn't exist. So I guess there is some truth to that. You cannot tell us how many because there are no many.
Well, you just came in. You're so jealous.
What am I jealous of?
If you put a post up and begging for a response, a post no one could understand.
Well, not my problem.
No one could understand it. You tried to explain it again. No, just crickets. Well, I've never seen a...
So it's now my responsibility that people are dumb?
No, they're not dumb. I didn't get it.
Well, that's, again...
Nobody wants to go through something and do a whole bunch of math and...
It's not much
if
math.
If I lived to be 31, I'd like... No. You got no response.
It was just a question of how much time would you have wanted to spend in childhood versus how much time you wanted to spend in adulthood.
I'm perfectly fine with the way life is.
If you can't, then say that. If you can't,
you're just upset that fell flat.
If I'm now,
here's what I'm going to tell you.
No, hold on. If I'm now some math guru, then you got big problems. If I'm too advanced in math for you, then maybe you do need to take a second look at your intelligence.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. You thought, oh man, I got this great idea.
It was a great idea.
I want to put it out there. I want to see. Oh, this response is going to be unbelievable. People are going to really get into this and think.
I don't care what people think, but it was a great idea.
And here's what happened.
I overestimated the intelligence of my friends.
Let the quiet encapsulate the.
Right, I overestimated your intelligence. I overestimated the intelligence of many of my friends.
How do you honestly feel about it? Because it just fell completely. Even your wife didn't respond.
My wife doesn't care. What I'm posting on Facebook.
David Michael Hahn didn't respond.
David Michael Hahn's a loser. And
who did respond?
I love David Michael Hahn. He's a winner at life.
Who did respond?
Who cares?
A couple people said it was... No, they didn't get it.
Well, that's on them.
It was a massive failure.
For me, it was pretty straightforward.
And try to explain it right here.
And if your reading comprehension is that of a child or lesser...
Try to explain it right now, what it was, because we're leaving some holes in the story.
You get to divide your life. I give you 100 years, right? And you get to divide your life. You get to divide your life between childhood and adulthood in those 100 years. So if I want to spend 45 years from 0 through 18, I want to extend that part of my life, then I have 55 years left to spend, and I die at age 73.
That makes no sense.
Why?
It just doesn't make any sense.
What does it make sense about?
So you said you give you 100 years, but if I want to spend, so it's the first 18 you can stretch out to as many as you want?
No, or you can do that. Yeah, kind of, I guess.
Why didn't you explain it like that? You get the first 18 years... there's a way to explain it that would have worked.
I think I did explain it pretty well.
You get 100 years. How many of those years do you want to be wrapped up in the first 18 years?
Right, your childhood.
I'd take 35 years there.
So you take 35 years, you'd have 65 left, you'd die at age 83.
All right, I'll take that. 35 years in childhood. Who wouldn't take that?
That's a pretty good deal. Some people would want their childhood to go quickly, and we'll spend 5 years in that, and I'll die at after 95 years at 113.
Well, is my childhood going to be at 1034 North Baltimore in Derby?
Sure.
Well, then I'll take it.
You can spend it however you want.
It still made no sense.
I liked it. And I continue to like.
And then you went back and said, come on, people.
Yeah, you guys are idiots. And
it's a shame. That was a shame.
It's not great, but who does it say more about, me or them? Them.
No. Here's what happened over the weekend. We pick football games every week. And I'd pretty much given up on myself because I started so poorly and just couldn't have a good week. For weeks and weeks, this went on. Tell me more, you ask? I was 2-6, 2-6, 2-6 the first 3 weeks. Then I went 6-2, 5-3, 6-2, but then I fell into another malaise. But here's what happened this week, last week. You went 3-5, but you lost your bonus game, and you only come up with 2 points.
That's wrong.
No, it's not.
That's wrong.
You got Texas right.
That's
you got
three.
Michigan right.
That's four.
You got Green Bay right.
Yeah, that's 11.
Okay.
I didn't get Minnesota.
Your bonus game was 9.
Yeah, whatever. Next.
Duda was 4-4, but he missed his bonus game for 10. So he ends up with 6 points. Max had a pretty good week. So did the big fella. They had good weeks. I had a great week. 6-2, got the bonus game, picked the Raiders, believe it or not, for 7. 29 points I get for the week, and I have now passed you comfortably.
Cool.
And I am only 1 point behind Duda. I am the leader now in games picked at 50-62, which speaks to the...
So you're losing a lot of money still.
Yeah. But I'm back where I belong.
Second place. Congratulations.
How do you feel about that? What's happened to you, by the way?
Do you want me to tell you the truth? Or do you want me to drum it up for show purposes?
You try to win.
Sure.
You put your best effort
into
this.
But if I don't, if I miss Clemson, South Carolina, if I don't know enough about that game.
I got that one right.
To pick it correctly, am I losing sleep?
I got that one right.
Kay, you bothered me.
Kay, you laid an egg. K-State laid an egg. Both teams laid an egg. But you picked K-State.
I did for 2. Just for good feelings.
We're going to talk more about K-State with Tim Fitzgerald coming up at 2:25. Tim, of course, of GoPowerCat.com. If you listen to this show, you know that already. So Fitz is going to weigh in on the Cats. And we'll talk about the... Not only the football team, which I think would be a disappointment to most K-State fans, but where are they with men's basketball?
Hard to say. They haven't really had a game that you kind of had to see.
They might be the most anonymous team in the history of the state. I couldn't, as I told your father-in-law yesterday at our great Thanksgiving celebration that we were invited to. Thank you for that invitation.
You're welcome.
By the way, I got a story to tell about that.
Some cat. Who cares? Big deal.
As I told him, I can't name one player on K-State's men's basketball.
Yeah, but you can.
I'd have to think.
David Gasson is still there.
Yeah, but I wouldn't think of him.
Coleman Hawkins, the guy they signed for a bunch of money.
I would think of him only because he showed up at the Illinois game in Kansas City last week in his Illini jacket. That couldn't have gone over that well with K-Staters.
It's not great.
And that's the problem with the transfer portal.
They got Doug McDaniel. They got that other kid from Villanova. They got Ekor.
Yeah, don't try to. Try to make up for your horrific Facebook posts, your terrible weekend picks, and the fact that your favorite cat Nettie Harris.
Not my favorite cat, my best bud.
Well, that's your favorite cat.
Well, who'd she spend the rest of the evening with? Not you.
Only because you begged. Treats, treats, I got treats. It was pathetic.
She loves treats.
Tell the listeners what happened.
She wanted attention from other people at the gathering.
And
yesterday.
What other people did she select?
Everybody.
What other people?
Aaron, Shannon.
Tell the story.
There's no story.
Tell the story
she
about
came
how
and sat by you for about 30
not
seconds.
Sat by me, sat on my right leg. I was petting her probably for 4 minutes, and then you got all worked up about it.
Yeah, because Misty never comes to me or anything.
I know. I don't get worked up about it.
Yeah,
Misty's
you do.
She's a friendly dog.
Secretly, you do.
I love the
I
fact
see the look
that
in
Misty,
your eye.
Misty loves everyone, and that's one of her great. Well, most dogs do. That's one of her most endearing qualities. But your cat sat on my leg, and we were having a wonderful time.
Who cares?
Time,
she sits on my. I mean,
and didn't pay a darn thing of attention to you. So there you go.
She knows. She already knows.
What time did the youngster head back to Manhattan?
She went back this morning.
Really? Stayed that long?
Yeah, she spent the night.
Must have gone early this morning.
Fairly early. I don't know what her schedule was like today.
Aren't you kind of glad I was there just to ask questions of the kid?
What do you mean?
Well, I was curious. I'm sure you're curious about some of the things I ask her.
I knew most of it.
You didn't know her class schedule.
Not for next semester, no.
Well, I'm inquisitive that way.
Well, good.
What do you? Why do you get so angry when you come over here?
I'm not angry, but why do you need to feel like you need to one-up me all the time and everything? Big deal. You came over, you saw
her. I one-upped you with your cat, with pics.
Don't care about pics.
Oh, now we don't care about pics.
No, not really. Give us some basketball game. Give us something interesting.
Everything's interesting.
Minnesota, Arizona. I mean, come on.
No, the Chiefs in Las Vegas, as the bonus pick, was interesting. We were all over the place. We had two people pick it for high points.
Yeah, we made bad picks.
And I don't know why you'd pick Kansas City at this point to cover a double-digit spread against anyone. And by the way, I know the Raiders aren't any good, but Brock Bowers, that guy's a player. They need
about
six more, and so is Max Crosby. And if you don't like Max Crosby, if you don't appreciate the way he plays, then you're not a sports fan.
Really?
Yeah, where's Cap when I need him?
Give him a
because
call.
That's really maybe the first time all year I've watched the Raiders, and I wasn't that turned off by them. Aiden O'Connell's an okay guy. He's not their long-term answer, but he played well.
Sure.
They gave the Chiefs, they should have won the game.
The Chiefs' defense has not been nearly as good recently as it was early on in the season. Bryce Young has been better, but they made him look competent. Aiden O'Connell looked good. This shouldn't be happening to the Chiefs. They needed one dominant side of the ball. They're just pretty much
okay in
both.
You thought they were going to dominate that game.
They should have.
And it didn't happen for you.
I'm kind of tired of the Chiefs, to be honest with you, this year. Do something. You can't just...
Well, they've lost one game.
I know, but do something. Look impressive. Show me something. Show me that you're going to beat Buffalo in the playoffs. Show me how that's going to happen.
I don't think they're going to beat Buffalo. The Chiefs have the Chargers coming up Sunday at Arrowhead. Sunday night game. Everybody will watch it. Chargers have been on a roll. Jim Harbaugh has the golden touch. What do you mean, except last
week? They lost to Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore's good, except when they play Buffalo.
Or Philadelphia, or anybody else.
That's a disappointing team. You want to talk about being disappointed in the Chiefs? That's nonsense.
I didn't say I'm disappointed.
You want to talk about being
disappointed? I'm tired of them.
In Baltimore? Well, that's disappointment.
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
No, it's not. If I was disappointed, I'd say that. I'm tired of the Chiefs.
Well, good. Don't watch them.
Win a game legitimately one time.
Don't watch them. They're walking a high wire. That's fun
to watch. I did watch most of that game. I watched some of it, but I watched the Shockers most of the day.
Why'd you watch the Shockers?
Whatever day that was. I was interested in how they do against a nationally.
Well, we'll get into that a little bit later. That's a setback for Shocker basketball.
Sure seems like it.
Just when the fans started to get a little, hey, let's look at this. Well, we looked at it, and a 27-0 run. Has there ever been a team go on a 27-0 run against Wichita State?
It seems like fairly improbable, but they did have some terrible years.
They had some terrible years, but I am curious. Maybe that stat's been out there. I don't know. Paul Sohlentrop should have back in the day.
Not the thing Paul Sohlentrop's going to broadcast. Paul Sohlentrop works for the university.
Well, Taylor Eldridge, has he looked into that?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Has there ever been a more dominant run against the Shockers?
Hard to say. Unless it's been said, then.
And Florida's good, no question about it. They're a legitimate, what are they ranked this week, 12, 14,
they're
something
up there.
Like that. That's a really good team, but it's also a really good test to kind of see where you are. And you
right.
don't throw in the towel. Wichita State's still only got one loss. They've got winnable games coming up. They have some interesting games coming up, too. They go to DePaul, and DePaul's unbeaten. They haven't beaten anybody.
Correct.
But they're unbeaten. And they had the similar schedule last year. They didn't beat any of these people.
They didn't?
No.
These terrible teams that...
DePaul was awful last year.
Yeah, but
year.
These teams are hideous. They're
they
beyond
awful.
They
won three games last year.
That's sad.
So don't tell me that, you know, don't question.
And you can still hold Wichita State to a standard that doesn't necessarily have to include them winning games in the NCAA tournament or even getting there. When they were on the rise during the Turgeon years and the Marshall years and were going to NITs, they were giving these teams, these Power 5 teams, tough games.
Well, sure. DePaul has Texas Tech, Providence, which is off to a halting start. Texas Tech has been good. They play in Lubbock on Wednesday night. We'll get a real indication then of where DePaul is. Wichita State goes to Chicago to face DePaul on Saturday the 14th.
And what is the real letdown is that Wichita State follows that game against Florida with a game this week against Alcorn State that will tell nothing, and you don't learn anything. And I hate those type of games. They're not even worth watching. The only thing you can learn is if Wichita State plays badly.
They have East Tennessee State after that, which is a little upgrade. East Tennessee State 6-2. They've beaten Charlotte by 20.
Charlotte's bad.
Charlotte's bad this year.
The league is bad.
You don't know that the league is
yes,
bad.
Yes, I do.
Stop making all these blankets.
They're bad. It's a bad
you
league.
You haven't watched the league.
I see scores and these teams. I mean, how do you go? Come on, man.
Stop it.
Let's look at it realistically.
Stop it.
It's a terrible
that.
League.
Stop it with that.
I'm not going to stop it. It's a one-bid league. Is that what you want?
I don't know that it's a one-bid
I'm
league.
I'm telling
it's
you
way
that
too
it's
early. But I don't care what you're telling me.
You should.
You understand that?
Yeah, but you're just like this guy that's going to wade in a little bit. I'll see if it's a good league. I'll see if Rice gets better, and they won't, and they stink, and it's a bad league. Can we just call it like it is?
Why are you so angry today?
I'm not angry,
man,
but
you are
grief.
Coming across as a jerk.
No, I'm not.
East Carolina is currently in the league right now. UAB, the preseason pick, is 4-5. They're off to a terrible start. Florida Atlantic, the team we're used to being pretty good, is also 4-5. Charlotte, which made a good run last year, 3-3. South Florida, which looked like they were on the come line, they were
well. Their coach passed
second.
Away, and that's
right.
awful.
They're struggling at 4-3. North Texas is good. They're 6-2. They played a decent schedule. They beat the same Minnesota team that the Shockers beat. They beat the same Northern Iowa team that the Shockers beat, but they beat them by 20. And they lost to a really good Utah State team by 4. Memphis is obviously good. Rice has a good record. I don't give much credence to Rice. But we'll see. Memphis could be an at-large.
Yeah, if somebody else wins it besides Memphis, it's a two-bid league. If not, it's a one-bid league.
And well, I think right now you'd look at Memphis and North Texas as being legitimate potential teams.
I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
If they're a legitimate potential team and that's your second-best team.
And I don't think you count out the Shockers at this point. Yes, terribly lackluster lackluster performance against Florida. We'll see what they do to rebound.
North Texas is 66 in KenPom. Memphis is only 31, and Wichita State is 88.
Right. Give it some time, man.
Yeah, I will.
It's not a great league, but it's not.
It's an unfortunately disappointing league. It's not what we signed up for.
Well, that was UConn. We've been through that a million times.
Then let's get out of it.
You think you're making news?
Let's get out of it.
Get out of it.
It's not even close.
Go to the Atlantic 10.
The Atlantic 10, absolutely.
Give me the Atlantic. What's the highest rate? Look this up during the break.
Okay.
Give me some really, you know, St. Louis is supposed to be a good team in the Atlantic 10. Shockers beat them like a drum.
Dayton, 26.
Based on going to Maui.
VCU, 44. So they've got two. Loyola, 75.
Okay.
George Mason, 84. Rhode Island, 85. St. Joseph's, 87. St. Bonaventure, 89. So they have basically 6-7 teams above Wichita State. And I'd want to go to that conference.
Pretty comparable.
Comparable.
We'll take a break, come back, talk with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. K-State finishes its regular season with a loss on the road at Iowa State. Iowa State now will face Arizona State. Arizona State, what a year for them in the Big 12 championship game coming up this weekend. Back in a minute.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
We go to the IHOP hotline, brought to you by IHOP, the official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in and try our decadent, fully loaded French toast, only at IHOP. Here's Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. We always enjoy our conversations with Fitz. I don't know how enjoyable this period of time is for K-State fans. You have a better feel than I do. I did put out on my Twitter the other night to say what one word describes the K-State football season, and they were all kind of disappointing and negative terms. What about K-State Nation? You think that's the way pretty much everyone feels?
Yeah. I mean, I think the way the season ended, that 8-4 record is one thing, because I think that was a little bit under expectations this season, and you're always measured against those. But it was the 1-3 finish. I mean, to lose three of your last four, blow a chance to play for the Big 12 championship. You know, so it wasn't just a matter of you win 8-4. You had everything you wanted in play at the 2/3 mark of your season, and it all slipped away. So I think there is disappointment. And I know Chris Klieman was a little bit defensive in his post-game press conference. You know, talking about how 8 wins, people shouldn't look badly upon that. But he's got to be disappointed, too. I mean, they were in a good position, and things just kind of came apart.
What do you think happened from I don't want to call it necessarily an effort. You don't really ever want to question guys' effort, but it just seemed like there was something emotionally missing over the last month where you couldn't really see what this team really did to be 7-1. It just seemed to really fall off, obviously from a physical standpoint, but was there something missing emotionally from this team?
Yeah, I don't think they ever really played with a whole lot of fire. I think they played with effort at times. I thought they were really good at Colorado. I thought they were fairly focused with Cincinnati. I thought they played hard at Iowa State. They didn't play well, but they played hard. They made too many mistakes. And I just don't think this team had enough, and I mean this in a good sense, instigators in that locker room, guys that were going to push their teammates and get them to, you know, really get fired up and motivated for games. I think they had a sense of going about business, and they got too casual at times. They were certainly too casual at Houston. And then they made some mistakes based on, you know, whether it was a bad play call or bad execution by the players. It still was a game-changing mistake, just as the very first play from scrimmage at Iowa State was.
Talking now with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com is his publication. You can subscribe to that. Go to GoPowerCat.com. If you're a K-State fan who hasn't already subscribed, and I can't imagine there are that many. So where are we as we head into a bowl game? This is going to be a strange time, maybe even stranger than normal because of the transfer portal, because of the draft, because of players. Player movement and coach movement. We've already seen a little bit of it. Talk about it nationally first, and then how do you think it could affect K-State?
Well, there's another layer here. I mean, we have the house settlement coming up next year in which, you know, all student athletes will have a revenue sharing program in place at their schools. And the general thought around college athletics is that's going to affect NIL. And, you know, those NIL numbers might drop a little bit, and I don't know if that's true or not, but I think some programs are going to invest heavily in NIL to get guys to their campuses when the new rules go into place. And I think we're going to see a lot of movement this offseason. If it's, you know, whether it's players moving up or players losing their roster spots, which is the next step, we're going to see a lot of players put into the portal, basically, by their programs that they're playing for. So if it's players coming back down the ladder, I think we're going to see an awful lot of movement. And these are really uncertain times in college athletics. And I think all of us old men harking back to better days. I wish I'm certainly not against the NIL. I'm not against the transfer portal. I just think the NCAA has done a horrific job of setting up guide rails and trying to guide programs through this since created a Wild West.
Yeah, everybody talks about the NIL and the transfer portal. I can probably wrap my head around those things a lot easier. The thing I hate about big-time college sports is recruiting, and it looks like Lincoln Cure might go to Oregon now, and I just don't I just don't get it. I don't like this. I don't. You commit to a school, and then a day, 2 days before signing day, you're talking about, well, I love Oregon, and I really had a great time at Oregon. It's like, what is the point? And we don't know what he's going to do. Wednesday says, well, both outcomes are possible. It's like, who are you? You're a great player, everything. You're a five-star guy. But do we need to beg you to come to Kansas State? Does Oregon need to beg you to come? It's like, I don't know. It seems like these kids just take themselves so seriously. Just make a decision.
Yeah, you know, recruiting is just a big fanfare. You know, they treat you like you're $1 million. They say whatever they need to say to get you to sway their opinion. They make you offers. You know, they do stuff they probably shouldn't do. And I know that's certainly happened with, you know, in the transfer portal, coaches calling players that are on rosters because there's no threat of really getting in trouble. And at the end of the day, when you show up, you're the freshman plebe. And, you know, maybe some kids get the big treatment, but for the most part, they just sold you. I mean, that's all they were doing is selling you. They don't care if you are unhappy when you get there. You're stuck. So, at least for the year. So, yeah. You know, my biggest problem with Lincoln Cure isn't that he's going to switch. It really isn't. Look, kids make bad decisions. And as I said on today's Daily Delivery video, I'm not here to say that going to Oregon's a bad decision. Maybe committing to K-State early was the bad decision. What I'm upset about is when kids commit and a program reserves a spot specifically for them, and then on signing day flips, because now they've not only backed out on their commitment. They blocked that program from getting another player that they might have wanted who just signed a letter of intent with someone else. And so it nails them twice. And I'm hoping if Lincoln plans on switching, he doesn't do it on Wednesday and make a big fanfare out of it, because I know K-State's got some other tight ends they would like to sign, if not Lincoln. And they'll probably be precluded from doing so because they would have signed with other programs.
Tim Fitzgerald, our guest, aren't we headed toward, it just seems like to me the only way we can administer this kind of a system is to go more toward a pro sports model. Contracts and wording and lawyers and all the stuff that happens in professional sports seems like it's going to happen in college sports to get some kind of handle on this. Is that the ultimate? Is that the ultimate landing spot?
I fear we're headed into a whole different world that won't be college sports at all. I mean, they'll be college age athletes. I think, and I don't know if this happens in 2 years or 20 years or what the time frame is, I think we're going to end up with semi-pro football, and your school name will be licensed to a business that will run that football program for you. And that's ugly. That's not college sports at all. And I think if that happens, there's going to be a real break-off between the schools that want to do it that way and people who still want to play college sports. And I know everyone at every school wants to play at the highest level possible, but I would offer that basically being a semi-pro sports franchise isn't what you want to be as a college, as a university, and trying to stay maybe at a middle tier, you know, somewhere between whatever they're going to create and the FCS, a more of a college football tier that makes sense for places like most of the Big 12 schools. And that just don't have that kind of budget to go spend millions of dollars on players, which is absurd. What, there's talk of Michigan paying $14 million for a quarterback. We've reached a level of absurdity. There, people are spending it because they can, and if you've got a filthy rich donor that has no end to their resources, this is the nonsense that's going to go on. And this isn't good for anyone, including the kid that's going to get $14 million. I worry about them because it's not like they have a professional agent and planning, financial planners and all that. A lot of it just gets dumped in their lap, and along with responsibilities and tax and all that. There's so many horrible layers to this. This is not what anyone signed up in, you know, coaching college sports or even covering college sports, but here we are.
Yeah, so we've talked on this show about K-State basketball being a little bit under the radar. They've not played fantastic. They've not really played poorly, I guess, in their non-conferences. Are the next three games against St. John's, Drake, and Wichita State, is that enough to get them some eyes, or will it have to happen if and when they make some waves in the Big 12?
It's funny, when you see the schedule at the start of the season, you don't think that with these three games necessarily. All those programs struggled a little bit last year, and they're not this year as much. And, I mean, yeah, I think Drake's really good. I'll be honest, I haven't followed the Shockers much because I've been deep into football so far. But they're all better than expected, and I think we'll provide Kansas State with some good tests that they need. Talking to the players yesterday after that game, so-called game, against Arkansas Pine Bluff, that they believe that even though they didn't win that second game, that they did a lot of bonding and grew together in the islands. And they were playing a really awful team Sunday, but boy, they looked a lot better just shooting the ball and working with each other. But then again, they were almost playing against air because Arkansas Little Rock, if you put the three of us and two other fat old guys, Jeff, you could be the young guy, you put us on a court, we would defend better than they did. It was awful. They were a horrible team.
You upgraded them from Pine Bluff to Little Rock, though, so they must have impressed you.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Pine Bluff. Yes, it's all one state to me. It's just a
same.
You gotta stop adding all these schools. I mean, it got really confusing yesterday because Pine Bluff played the men and Central Arkansas played the women, and I'm like, how many damn D1 schools does this state have? It's not that big, so it's very confusing.
All right, my last question, we got to ask you about Avery Johnson. I don't know what letter grade I'd give him for his season. I'm pretty much hovering around a C for pretty much everything except J.R. Giddens.
D.J.
D.J. Giddens. Why do I keep doing that?
You do that a lot. On this show.
I do that. Yeah. We couldn't sound older. But anyway, where are we with Avery? What does he need to do in these months ahead to improve and get better and come back and lead K-State to a higher purpose next season?
You know what's remarkable about Avery's season? If you just ask most of us observing, we say he underachieved. He wasn't nearly what we expected. And that might be an indictment of our expectations more than Avery. Because there's been some people, a guy on my staff, and I've seen a couple people on Twitter, put together comparisons of like quarterbacks, were through the history of K-State or around FBS football this season. Avery's stats are basically the best among the sophomore quarterbacks. You get some nuance to that. But really the problem was the ill-timed turnovers soured everything. At the end of a game at Houston, at the start of the game at Iowa State, fairly early in the game at BYU, he had such impactful turnovers. There weren't very many mistakes that turned into no big deal. And I think that's what clouds us a little bit. I think he's a much better football player, though, than he showed. Part of that was offensive scheme. Part of that is a reluctance to run the ball because I think some forces around him want him to prove to the NFL he can be a pocket passer. And Lamar Jackson isn't known as a pocket passer. He can do it and do it effectively, but that's not why you draft him. You draft him because he's a freak of an athlete who can do multiple things. And that's the lane Avery needs to be in. But the reality of it is Avery isn't as big as Lamar Jackson. And he took some hits this year, including, at the end of the game in Iowa State. It should have been a personal foul penalty, in my opinion, according to the rule book, but it wasn't. And there's some worry about him being a little bit too fragile for this level.
All right, I'm going to cheat. We got another guest coming up, but D.J. Giddens, I want to ask you quickly about him. Is he just banged up? Is that why he sat out in the fourth quarter the other day? And what might that do to his ability or desire to play in a bowl game?
Yeah, I don't know. They took his helmet from him, so that tells me he took something to the noggin. I think he was beaten up this year, and I think he's a whale of a running back, but K-State had to lean on him to carry him at times, and his body paid the price. If you're DJ, you might look at the NFL and say, I got to make my money soon because my body can't take this. But I also honestly don't think he's quite ready for that level emotionally or football sense. So we'll see how that plays out, but I really do wish him the best. He's such a terrific kid. He's just a wonderful young man.
Fitz, we really appreciate you, and hope you had a good Thanksgiving, and we'll catch up soon.
Thank you, gentlemen, whatever your names are. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. Jamel Holoperic joins us from Visit Wichita. We're going to get into some events and things going on in our community. Let's get into some of the things going on in our community, and I think Illuminations at Botanica would certainly be at near or at the top of everyone's list. It's a great event, very, very popular. Botanica is such a great place to visit. Tell us about that one.
Absolutely. I mean, it is beautiful. 2 million lights in one location. It's open until January 4th. If you go out there, these lights are choreographed to music. There's Candy Cane Lane. There's Santa's Village. And this is ranked one of the top places for Christmas lights in the country. So we are very fortunate to have that place. But then I've got to tell you, I went out to a country Christmas over the holiday weekend, and this is over at Fulton Valley Farms. Have you been out there?
I wouldn't know how to get to Fulton Valley Farms. That's why you're on the show to tell us how.
You know what? It's a little bit of a drive. I'm going to be honest with you, but it's over by Tawanda, and there are directions on our website, but it's really neat. It's Fulton Valley Farms. They have hundreds and thousands of lights. It's open Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. They have homemade fudge. They have a live nativity scene, live reindeer out there. You get to see live reindeer. Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus are out there. But it is truly gorgeous. You get to walk through the farm and through all these lights. It's a great place for pictures as well.
Well, I'm looking at some of the details about this place, and you can have pancakes with Santa on Saturday mornings throughout September, and then on the morning of Christmas Eve.
December.
That's got to be pretty cool.
I know, right? And there was live music out there the other day. This guy was singing Silent Night, and he had a great voice. And, I mean, it's just a beautiful vibe. It's something different, and it's fun to take the whole family.
There you go. Yeah, I was curious about you, Jamel, because you talked about Illuminations being open until January 4th. And, you know, there's no time of year that we shouldn't be feeling festive and wanting to be around people and being happy. But how long does the Christmas spirit last for you? Do you go into January? And, you know, how does the Wichita's penchant for holiday exhibits, how does that speak to you?
You know what? I got to tell you something. We do a lot for the holidays. So, like, even though this was just Thanksgiving, we went to Fulton Valley Farms. We did the igloo at Chicken and Pickle. We, you know, we liked all of that stuff. So I have to be honest. I love all of Wichita's holiday spirit and festivities we have. But by January 2nd, I am done. And
yes.
I'm fat and I'm tired. So it's like I'm kind of out of the Christmas spirit. I'm not trying to be the Scrooge, but I'm being a little honest.
That makes sense.
So when did you get your decorations put up? My wife, we did it kind of early this year. My wife, actually, she didn't do it early. She waited until the day after Thanksgiving, and then she's decorated our house. But we got our lights up a little bit before Thanksgiving. Outside.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's perfect timing, don't you? Because you don't want to just get them up and have to take them right back down. So now you get to enjoy them. But again, after about January 2nd, I'm ready for them to go. Are you guys, what's your spirit when it comes to
Christmas? Yeah, I am for sure. Yeah, don't talk to my wife about it. I'm ready for them to go December 27th.
Goodness.
Yeah, it's terrible. What about the holiday stroll in Bradley Fair, Jamel? Tell us about that.
Hey, this is so fun, too. And, you know, people are in the shopping spirit right now, so there's a great place to shop out there at Bradley Fair, all those fabulous stores. But on Sundays, you go out there, and this will last through the end of the month, and you can take a ride on the Bradley Fair Express. You can have free hot cocoa. You can get photos with Santa. And there's a sleigh out there. So I know a lot of people still want to get their family Christmas pictures. This is a great place to do it. You can shoot it with your phone or have one some shoot it out there, and you'll have Santa and the sleigh. But a lot of great shopping going on. There will be specials in each store. It just makes it fun for everyone.
Do you do a lot of Christmas shopping? Are you a receiving over giving type of person?
You know, I am not a big shopper, but I do love to shop around the holidays. So I like to just go out, and I like those unique items. I hate just buying sweatshirts and T-shirts and ties. I like to find those items, and I love them when they have initials on them or maybe a picture of a family member, those kind of unique items.
Talking with Jamel Halaparik from Visit Wichita. She is our Director of Public Relations. Longtime news person at Cake TV here in town. So I want to jump ahead because this is coming down the pike. We get the first and second round of the NCAA tournament this year at Intrust Bank Arena. That requires tons and tons and tons of planning and preparation. How deep are we into that process already?
You know what? Great question. We are already meeting with Intrust Bank Arena, the city, because, you know, we got to close off streets. There's going to be so much fun. I mean, parties and celebrations all over. NASCAR Park is going to be a great location this year to get down there, and then it's just walking distance. But, I mean, it is going to be so much fun. But we're already talking about, you know, where's the media going to set up? Where are some of these places going to be? What streets need to be closed off? What about parking? What about the buses for the teams? You know, it's a lot, but it's so exciting to get it here in Wichita.
I don't know if you're privy to any information that Intrust Bank Arena has, but are there any concerns about Justin Timberlake and his concert. I think it's next week, right? He canceled his concert in Oklahoma City. Are we worried about repercussions in Wichita?
You know what? I haven't heard from Interest Bank Arena, but just, you know, just around here, we just had a fellow employee come in and he just bought his tickets for his pregnant wife. So he's going to be mad as a hornet. Oof. If it does cancel. He's going to be in trouble. Yes. But I haven't heard anything about that.
Okay.
Well, we hope the show goes on. Jamel, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for giving us some updates about some fun winter events going on in Wichita around the holidays. And we'll talk to you in January.
Sounds great. You guys have an awesome day, and people can just go to visitwichita.com to find out all the information. We'll see ya.
All right. Thanks. There you go. Jamel Halaparic from Visit Wichita. We'll take a break, come back with an hour left to go. We'll talk NFL. We'll talk college basketball. We'll talk college football. I want to know Jeff's opinion on flag planting. I never thought it would become the controversy it has. But we'll give our thoughts on that as well. We'll be back. The Bob and Jeff Show on KFH.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.